nothing.
You're listening to WGXC Acra, Hudson, Catskill, 90.7 FM. We're here for you.
Do you like a little ukulele? Ukuleles Unleashed is broadcast live from the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill. Carmen Borgia hosts the live segment, and John Sturman spins the finest ukulele music from every nook and cranny of our crazy old earth. So, if you're like me and you like a little ukulele, tune in to Ukuleles Unleashed on WGXC 90.7 FM the third Tuesday of every month from 8 to 10 p.m. or find us later in the archive at WGXC.org.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Beth Schwartz of Jersey City, New Jersey. WGXC supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Turn out upstairs at the Avalon Lounge on Thursday, September 25th at 7 p.m. for Breaking the Algorithm IRL, a monthly mixer with mixers for mixers presented by WGXC. This month's live taping of WGXC segment Local Waves in Conversation, hosted by Mike Amari of Chosen Family, features Adriana Timpasis of Pocket Merchant, and a DJ set by Ryan S. of WGXC show Belt of Venus. Entry by donation. Come on out and get to know other folks involved in the Hudson Valley music world. Information on WGXC's community calendar at WGXC.org.
About the Campbell. Did it? I got it. Campbell appeared. Covering minute. Is it hitting him?
Hello there. Is that Eddie?
Hello. Who's that, Professor?
Yeah, man. What's happening there in England?
Oh, damn good to hear you, Helby. Nothing at all save a boring bloody music on the radio. And you know how one loves one's black music.
I mean, they're playing the same thing that they were playing
same,
5 years ago.
Same old thing, dear fellow.
Shit. What, so you ain't got no choice on the radio?
Well, no choice is no bloody choice, you know? So, what are you doing at the moment yourself, old fella?
I've got some new stuff, man. I wanna bring it out. I wanna get it played over there. I think the people ought to hear it. You know?
What is it like? What is it exactly?
Well, you could call it what you like. I don't have a name for it, but it sounds something like this. Have a listen.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, September 19th. Local early morning temperatures range from 51 degrees in Steventown to 61 in Medusa. Regional average soil temperature is 63 degrees. Air quality will be moderate and pollen levels will be low. Some winds show up this afternoon, making the day's high of 77 at 4 p.m. a bit more comfortable. Overnight, campers should prepare for a dip to 47 degrees. Tomorrow will be mostly sunny with a high of 72 at 4 p.m. Overnight, we see a chilly dip to 42 degrees. Sunday, still mostly sunny with a high of 73. Monday is still looking dry with a high of 77. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 1:41 a.m., low tide at 8:22 a.m., high tide again at 2:12 p.m., then low tide once again at 8:31 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 74 degrees. The tide strength will be high, and it will increase over the weekend. Sunset today will be at 6:46 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:35 a.m. Looking way up, we see plasma winds will be average at 428 kilometers per second with a thin density of less than one proton per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently solar max standard with an S1 level noise floor. There are low chances of aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 119. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Our hearts were steel, pledged our love to friends. In the end, we were alone. Fly out of crumble caves at night in solitude. Soar through mechanical landscapes in search of food. In the end, we were alone. Souls and blackness feeds our heart. Industrial creatures vexed and doomed to making art. In the ashes arising, plunging an acid bath to wash this curse away. It never works. I live to sleep another day. In the ashes arising. In the ashes arising, Detroit wakes from a murder stream.
Service Friday afternoon update. I'm Mike Clifford. President Donald Trump and Chinese leader Xi Jinping on Friday began a much-anticipated call aimed at finalizing a deal to keep TikTok from going dark in the U.S. That from CNBC. They report Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent said following talks between the two economic superpowers in Madrid that Washington and Beijing agreed on a deal framework for the social media platform. CNBC notes ByteDance, TikTok's parent company, has faced an ultimatum under a federal law requiring it to either divest the platform forms American business or be shut down in the U.S. Meantime, federal support is vital for rural Pennsylvania, but officials in rural counties say it often is hard to get. Some of them spoke up at a hearing this week in the Congress.
One program that made a real difference is USDA Rural Development. Since 2015, it's backed 95 local projects in Potter County, Pennsylvania, with investments totaling over $8 million. At a U.S. House Agricultural Committee hearing, Potter County Commissioner Paul Heimel urged Congress to modernize and expand these types of programs and make it easier for rural communities to tap into funding, especially by streamlining support for smaller projects.
Congress should direct USDARD to develop a simplified application and approval process, allowing those of us with limited local resources to quickly secure funding for time-sensitive local needs.
Danielle Smith reporting.
And with Congress yet to pass broad regulation of artificial intelligence, Michigan is among the states moving ahead with its own guardrails.
Local AI regulation is taking shape in Michigan with a 2024 resolution on preventing bias and new statutes on AI-generated election content. Professor Anjana Susarla, who teaches about responsible AI at Michigan State University, points to a policy in one Western state that addresses the everyday use of AI.
In the state of Utah, the Artificial Intelligence Policy Act, if you are talking to an AI chatbot, that you should clearly know that there has to be some disclosure around the use of AI.
Among Michiganders age 50 and older, 91% say they want to know if the information comes from a human or from artificial intelligence. Crystal Blair reporting.
Next, Ohio is responding to its rapidly aging population by joining the AARP network of age-friendly states and communities. Governor Mike DeWine announced the designation this week, making Ohio the 13th state to commit to policies that support residents across their lifespan. Jenny Carson is AARP Ohio State Director.
It's about making safer streets for families, accessible transportation for older adults. And it doesn't matter whether or not you're 80 or 8 years old. It's about reimagining what it means to grow up and grow old together.
More than 1,000 communities nationwide are already enrolled in the age-friendly network. This is Public News Service.
The city of Racine has published public records related to Microsoft's hyperscale data center in Mount Pleasant. The documents were released following a lawsuit against the city for failing to provide information about water usage estimates for the facility.
Environmental nonprofit Milwaukee Riverkeeper filed a request in February seeking information on water use at the Microsoft data center. The city records release showed it will require an estimated 8.4 million gallons of water each year. Michael Greif is with Midwest Environmental Advocates, who filed the lawsuit. He says the city failed to respond for more than 200 days and then claimed the information was confidential.
That's 6 months in which the public was deprived of that information, which prevents them from being able to assess the impacts of this project on their community or their pocketbook or on the local environment.
Racine officials say they delayed releasing the information until they determined if it violated contractual agreements. Supporters of the data centers say they create jobs, grow communities, and advance local manufacturing sectors. I'm Judith Ruiz Branch reporting.
And significant cuts to the U.S. Department of Agriculture by the Trump administration have reduced staff working locally for the Rural Development Program, including in New Mexico.
Speaking to a U.S. House subcommittee on Thursday, Suchil Torres-Small said USDA Rural Development offices now lack engineers, authority, and experience to get vital projects approved. She notes those trials are compounded by cuts to Medicaid, rural schools, food assistance, and canceled infrastructure investments, including expanded broadband.
The problem I'm raising isn't simply that federal staffing was cut. Rural Americans are more than willing to tell us what is working and what isn't. The problem is that those cuts happened without consulting the very people they affect.
I'm Roz Brown.
Finally, the wild rice harvest season in Minnesota ends September 30, and a Native American tribe in the state's north central region is not only thinking about this year's results. Its members say a proposed mine nearby could harm future harvests.
Talon Metals wants to build a nickel mine near Tamarack to supply electric vehicle batteries. The Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe and partner organizations worry about waste flowing into the Mississippi and St. Croix River watersheds. The The Mille Lacs Band's Natural Resources Commissioner Kelly Applegate says beyond the threat to drinking water, there's a fear the abundant wild rice beds would find it hard to survive.
Wild rice is almost like a sentinel species, like a canary in a coal mine, if you will. Very sensitive to water chemistry changes.
Applegate says wild rice is closely tied to the cultural identity of Ojibwe people. I'm Mike Moen.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. Since January, every city-owned building in Chicago has been powered by clean, renewable energy, and that includes more than City Hall.
We also operate two airports, O'Hare International Airport, one of the largest in the world, as well as Midway, and then we have a portfolio of hundreds of buildings, fire stations, police stations, community centers.
Jared Policicchio, the city's deputy chief sustainability officer, says by transitioning from fossil fuels, Chicago is driving more clean energy onto the grid. About 70% of the city's renewable energy comes from a new solar farm in central Illinois, which was built in large part because Chicago committed to buying electricity from the project. With more than 1 million panels, it's the largest solar installation east of the Mississippi River.
So it's truly immense.
Right now, Chicago is meeting most of its remaining energy needs by buying energy credits from other renewable electricity providers. But in the future, the city plans to get most of that energy from small local installations. For example, it recently installed rooftop solar on a public library on the south side. So Chicago is demonstrating how big cities can build a cleaner, more climate-friendly future. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
Yeah. Sundance.
Exploring Science in the Sea. A team of astronomers recently reported the possible discovery of a compound in the atmosphere of another planet that could be produced by life. If the compound really is there, then the planet might smell familiar, like a day at the beach. Many factors go into creating the smellscape of the sea. Locally, things like pollution, red tides, and decaying seaweed can make the beach smell less than pleasant. Globally, though,